Edwards. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. September 18, 1894. Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear brother, I have just received and read a letter from my son, Edson White. He knows that I have a deep, intense interest in his mission to the colored people, and that I have confidence that the Lord has heard the many prayers that I have offered to him day and night to open the way so that Edson could work in the very lines in which God has presented to me that he should work. He has written me in regard to the fact that parties have opened his mail and taken therefrom a donation of money that was to be used in the missionary enterprise in the southern field. Can you explain by what precept in the law of God you were acting in so doing? For years the Lord has been revealing to me the fact that the perception of those who were carrying forward business in the office was not after God's order. The Lord could not approve the course of action which men took, and which they classed in their minds as just and right. When their actions were weighed in the balance of the sanctuary, they were wanting in justice, equity, and the love of God. I have several pages written concerning these things, which I cannot possibly get into this mail, because there is not time to have it copied. What rule do the parties in the Review and Herald office follow in dealing with their fellow men? Has the voice of God in His Word directed you to pursue a course which would have a tendency to weaken the hands of anyone in carrying forward His work? I will say little now on these points, as the Lord has presented before me some things which I will present to you in the next mail. There are very few who feel any spirit or burden of labor for the cause and work of God. Prayers are going up to heaven, or ought to be, for the Lord to raise up laborers to go into the harvest. For years the Lord has had a work for Edson to do, but he was too proud to move out, because there were hindrances in his way. Again and again, the movements that have been prompted by satanic agencies to discourage in place of encouraging him have been opened before me. Those who ought to have been his wise counselors have tried to lay stumbling blocks in his way. The Lord selected him before he was born to do his part in the work of saving souls. He has given him insight into the Scriptures. Time and again he has moved upon his heart, but he has been unwilling to take hold of the work because he did not receive encouragement from his brethren who were in the proper positions of trust. The Lord permitted him to go very low in order that he might see his great wretchedness, misery, and helplessness, so that his heart might be broken, and that he might call on the Lord and give himself to his service. I know that the Lord has been moving upon my son Edson. I also know that the Lord has let his hand, the right hand of his power, lift him up, and make him independent of the help which he ought to have had from those who would have helped him if they had had the love which Jesus has to the sinful and erring. He receives the wandering, straying, lost sheep. He takes him in his arms, rejoicing at every step, and exclaiming, "I have found my sheep that was lost." Luke 15, verse 6. The heartless, indifferent hard-heartedness which has been revealed by those whom God has placed in positions of sacred responsibility and has expected that they would be co-laborers with the tender shepherd has led them to drive souls into the snare which Satan has prepared for them. The Lord in His mercy, through His Holy Spirit, has been fitting Edson White to do a work that for years he would not surrender himself, soul, body, and spirit, to do. The transaction in regard to the money is only another evidence of the truth of that which I have presented before the workers in the office. There is need of the converting power of God upon the heart and character of those in the office. The Lord has not led those who have done this action, and they must answer to God for perverting the means from the channel in which God designed it should flow. Because some thought their judgment perfect, they have turned aside the means which God impressed some soul to give to a certain work to His name's glory. How dare anyone take such a liberty? How dare anyone presume to judge in these matters? How dare anyone to climb on the judgment seat and do that which Christ has told them not to do? Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Matthew 7, verse 1 to 3. Please read the words that come from the lips of Christ and inquire, "Do I believe my Bible?" Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. Romans 2, verse 1. The very ones who have neglected those who are in peril, and who have left them to wander and perish by their course of action, who have driven them into Satan's snares, are the very ones who will not rejoice with Christ when he brings back the lost and wandering sheep. They will act as did the elder brother in the parable. Time and again, many in the office have reenacted his part. They have been jealous as he was, and have complained of the favors shown to the poor prodigal by his Father in heaven, who appreciates and values every soul for whom Christ has died. Again and again on my knees I have said, "I thank the Lord that Jesus the tender shepherd has hunted for the lost sheep and has brought Edson White back to the fold." I have not questioned at all, but have been assured that there would be those who would pursue a course to dishearten and discourage, and who would, like the priest and the Levite, pass by on the other side when a poor soul needed sympathy and restoring. I knew that there would be those who, instead of pouring oil into the wounds, would pour in vitriol. I must speak. I cannot hold my peace. I am moved not with anger, but with indignation against those who have not the love of the true shepherd, who have made no self-denying, self-sacrificing efforts, as did the Good Samaritan and the true shepherd. They have not gone out to seek for the lost. But when there was no eye to pity, no hand stretched out to save, God's own arm brought salvation, and he upheld. God alone brought back his lost sheep. But when those who claim to be children of God neglect a soul for whom Christ is working, not imputing his sins unto him, but imputing unto him his righteousness, when they speak and act in a way to discourage that soul, God will require their deeds at their hand, and requite them for their injustice and unchristlikeness. Will the workers in the review office carefully consider these words? At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses! For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Matthew 18, verse 1-7. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man hath 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Verses 10-14. Read the whole chapter verse by verse, solemnly and reverently, and then repent before God, and be converted, and have the humility of a little child. "For Christ's sake, do not cause the feet of my son to stumble on the dark mountain of unbelief. I gave Edson to God before he was born. At the time I was placed in very discouraging circumstances, but the Lord kept my soul from despair, and I have for Edson the tenderest regard. When only 18 months old, Satan strove day and night for his life. He would battle in terror for hours against unseen foes, and so did his brother Henry. The satanic agencies were seen by the little ones, though our eyes could not behold them. We prayed night and day, and peace came, and life was spared. Edson's life has been one long battle against unseen foes. Is he less precious in the sight of God on account of this? No, I tell you no. His case has been a revealer of characters. Those who thought or claimed that they were far advanced in Christianity have shown that they know not how to deal with human minds. They have revealed the fact that they have no spiritual intuition or discernment, but have blindness that is wonderful.